Open your Bible to two places. One of them is 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and Deuteronomy chapter 8. I like to do big pinches. You know, it's a lot of pinch there in between those two. And this really just has to do with the heart of giving. The wilderness was never God's plan ultimately for His people. We're going to look here in a minute. The kind of land that He promised Abraham was not a wilderness full of snakes and scorpions and where nothing will grow, you know. But everything that God does, God has a reason for it. One time I was doing a study on finances. I was finding everything in the New Testament that pertained at all to kingdom finances, any type of giving, receiving, anything. Because ultimately, you know, you're responsible for your own walk before the Lord. And I was tired of being lied to by preachers. Is that plain enough for you? I wanted to see what it said for myself. So I was going through 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and I know you're familiar with it. This was where Paul was writing to them and taking up an offering for the saints at Jerusalem. These were the Hebrew Christians. And there was a famine going on in the land at the time, as I understand it. Plus, they were under terrible persecution. So they were under genuine lack. And so Paul was writing to all the churches, I believe, and especially the Corinthians, and saying, you know, you ought to set aside some money the first of every week, and I'm going to send Titus and the other brother, and they're going to take this money and go help them. But as I was studying through it, I was surprised when I got to this one part here in 2 Corinthians 8 as he's writing to them. And we'll pick it up here in verse 10. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now, let's want to throw in a tidbit for free here. Now that right there does away with some of you need to get God's attention. Some of you need to maximize your credit card in the offering tonight. Has anyone ever been in one of those services? How about there's a special anointing on a $500 gift? See? I don't care who he is and how big his ministry, that is not so. And it's not ever so. Okay? That's a pull for money, and that's all it is. All right? Now, it is true that God may be dealing with somebody who has that kind of money. And God may be dealing with him strong to give it. But to say to the general audience there's a special anointing so that they might put a $500 gift and charge it on their credit card, it says here, you look in, does it say this in your Bible? It's accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. God's not after you to go in debt to put in money into an offering. That was free. There's no extra charge anyway. As if we charged anyhow. He says, for I mean not that other men be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And here, to New Testament spirit-filled, tongue-talking, born-again Christian people, he quotes from the Old Testament a passage about the manna. Y'all remember the manna? Look what he says. As it is written, and where that's written is back in the Exodus concerning the manna. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. And he's quoting about the manna. All right, now go back to Deuteronomy 8 for just a moment. Now, again, I want to emphasize what I'm about to tell you. God's ultimate plan for his people is not the wilderness. His plan was to bring them into a land of abundance, and you can see it here real easy in Deuteronomy 8, verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Did I say right? Deuteronomy 8, verse 11? Okay. Verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Now notice, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. These are occupations. Some of you is going to be wheat farmers. Some of you is going to be barley farmers. There's going to be vines. There's going to be vineyards of grapes and fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron. There's going to be mining. And out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. So on and so, we could go on here. Now, so that's God's plan, see. And he's going to bring them into a land where they would have occupations. Did you know that's still his plan for his people today? In the New Testament, you find it everywhere. If a man will not work, neither let him eat. A believer is worse than an infidel if he won't get a job and take care of his own. But see, during that 40-year period of the wilderness, they did have to go through that time. And God had the perfect time to start molding these people's hearts to teach them about his nature. Now, during that period of time, I'm not going to go back and look at the manna. Most of you know it well enough anyway. You know, here's the thing. There was never any manna before. There's never been any manna since. God could have designed that manna any way that he wanted to. He could have done it any way that he wanted to. Now, he's got a people during this 40-year period. They're in the wilderness. It's sand. It's desert. Scorpions. You can't sow barley. You can't sow wheat. So he's got them in the perfect place to teach them about his character. So what does he do? They wake up in the morning, rub the sleep out of their eyes, open the tent. They look out. With the dew that morning, there's something kind of glistening. What is that? See, that's what manna really means. The word manna means, what is it? They go out and they start gathering this up, you know. And it says it kind of tastes like a meal that's been flavored with honey. I think it might be like sopapillas myself. Anyone ever had sopapillas? You know, I like that, you know. But anyway. Now, can you imagine these people? They were slaves in Egypt. They're wondering how they're going to survive out here. I mean, even if you could find a little patch of ground somewhere in the wilderness where you could sow a crop. So you sow your seed on Monday. The cloud moves on Tuesday. They're at God's mercy here, right? Well, they wake up and nobody's ever seen this before. In the history of the world, nobody's ever woke up and they look out and there's this wafer bread just out there on the, you know? And I can see them out there gathering up and one of them's talking to another, an elder maybe of the different tribes, and they're going, did you cause this to happen? No. Did you sow any seed that caused this to happen? Now, God could have designed that manna any way that he wanted to. But he provided their needs for 40 years, and not one of them sowed a seed to get it. And he designed some other things about it, too. Now, does not the Bible talk to us, you know, go to the ant, thou sluggard? We're supposed to be diligent people. It also talks about, you know, saving and having some setback, like a squirrel does the nuts in winter, you know, to have a surplus. But during this period of time, God was more interested in their heart. He wasn't worried about their supply, because he was their supplier. So he designed that manna to do some very unusual things, you know. He gave them some instructions. Go out and gather it every day. When you gather it up, now he says, you know, young people, they might be able to gather more than some of the older people, you know. So he says, bring it all into a central place and we're going to redistribute this thing and everybody will have enough. Now, whatever you do, don't try and save it overnight. What did they do? Can you imagine now the guy, you know, they're learning about God. And they're going, well, okay, God says there's going to be manna every day, but what if tomorrow there's no manna? So I can just see some of them, you know, don't tell me they didn't do it. You know, some of them did it. They squirreled a little bit away in the fold of the robe somewhere, you know, kind of, I'm going to keep this for breakfast in the morning just in case. I'll have a little manna taco, a little manna burrito or something, you know. And they wake up in the morning and they, something in the tent. What is that odor? And they get to smelling around. And they, man, that's coming out of my robe here. And it says that things It's full of worms, and by now it stinks, you know. Now, what was God teaching them there? He was teaching them, I am your supply. You can depend on me every day. How did Jesus say it? Father, give us this day, our daily bread. Now, he's not against savings. In fact, the Bible encourages you to have some savings and be responsible. But first, you got to know his heart before you receive from his hand. Is that good right there? So even over in the New Testament, now these are New Testament Christians that really they're living in God's abundance now. They should have occupations. There's all kinds of work for them to do and ways to make money. But notice the heart of God doesn't change. And Paul quotes that even to New Testament, tongue-talking, born-again Christians. He says, now remember, if you see a brother in need, don't forget that principle that they had to learn first in the wilderness. If you've got more than enough and you see your brothers in lack, you share from what you have and don't you worry about it. God will meet your need now. Is that good stuff or what? I could go on for about a week, but that's enough for tonight. I love God. I love Him. I love His heart. It took Him forever to get Sue. It took forever to get Him where I could trust Him. I had a hard time trusting Him. You know? I was raised to be very self-reliant. And that's not all wrong either, by the way. I mean, you're supposed to be a hard worker and keep your word. And I'm 63. You know, a lot of these, I'm 63 years old. If I went to work for you, you'd keep me and let others go. I'll do what I say. I'm honest to a fault. I'll be the hardest worker there and it won't be long. You can't do without me. That's who I am. See? And I give all the glory to God. You know why? He's that way. He keeps His word. He's the best friend you ever had. You can depend on Him at all times. Glory to God. You got to know His heart. He will not fail you. Amen? All right, well, it's offering time. I could just go on and on, but it's offering time. Father, this is the time. I know You have many people here, Lord, that on purpose they have themselves in training to hear Your voice. They really want to be Your financial steward in the earth, Lord. Father, this is the time. They're listening and attentive. If you have an amount you'd like for any individual to give into this offering, speak it to their heart now. And what they hear You say, I know that's what they'll do. Then if you're listening and you say, Gary, well, I'm listening. I'm just not hearing Him say an amount. Well, I don't always either. And then the other New Testament principle kicks in. Let every man purpose in his own heart what he'd like to give. You're not under law. You're not under compulsion. He wants an offering that you want to give. If you need an offering envelope, there's envelopes on the back of the pews. Fill one out. You can make checks payable to GCC. And if the ushers will come forth at this time, praise the Lord for... How about these good-looking anointed ushers here? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me just offer a quick prayer. Father, we just thank You for Your abundance. God, we're so glad, since there was only one true and living God, we are so glad it's You. A God who is love. A God who keeps His word. A God who we can trust. A God who will never fail us. Father, we live without the sense of fear or lack of any kind, because You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Father, thank You for Your anointing upon this offering. That causes it to multiply like the loaves and fishes. Cause it to send Your gospel farther than the devil would ever believe possible. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, Amen. Amen.